What would you do, my friend, if you found yourself in a situation where all of a sudden your convictions, your beliefs were put on trial? Where you had a decision to make and there were people standing around wondering if you would give in, wondering if you would compromise, wondering if you would just brush the situation off or if you would take it as an opportunity to serve God. What would you do? Last program, I introduced you to the story of Esther Ahn Kim. Esther Ahn Kim was a Korean woman who lived in Korea during the World War II, and the Japanese had occupied Korea. And in their occupation of Korea, because the war was not going their way, they became very, very panicked, and they decided that the Koreans needed to bow down and worship their gods at the Shinto shrine. And so they would all of a sudden call a time when everybody would empty the schools and they would walk up to the Shinto shrine, and there at the sound of the gong, they would all bow down. This was to appease their gods. This was to help them to win the war, a war that they felt that they were in and that they should win and that would make them so powerful. Well, Esther Ahn Kim was a teacher in a Christian school. And Esther Ahn Kim, every time they had to do something like that, she happened to be absent. But this one day, they were all gathered together, and the principal said, "We are required to take the children and go up to the Shinto shrine and to bow down and worship their God." Now, I know that some of you do not believe in their God, and I know, Esther Ahn Kim, that you do not believe in their God. But I'm telling you today that it will not hurt for you to bow down, because you know in your heart that you love God. And I'm a Christian too, and I'm going to bow down because God understands. Because if we don't, we're going to incur the wrath of the Japanese on this school. And don't you do that to me, Esther Ahn Kim. Don't you refuse to bow down. Well, as they started up in this procession and all the school walking together, the little girls knew Esther Ahn Kim. They knew her strong stand for the Lord. They knew that she was like a little banty rooster when it came to her faith and came to her convictions. And so they began to discuss, to whisper behind them, "Will Miss Kim bow down?" And Miss Kim was wondering, "What do I do, God? What do I do?" And she heard the children behind her, and she knew that what she did would impact the others, that it would send a very strong message. And as she walked and prayed, the Lord brought to her mind the three young men that we've been studying in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow. They would not bow. They were willing to burn before they bowed. And she knew that she could not bow. And so when the gong went off, when they struck the gong, and everybody was to bow so very, very low, there was one lone figure standing up. It was Esther Ahn Kim. The police saw her. They seized her. They grabbed her out of that crowd, and they hauled her off to the local jail. And this captain was just absolutely furious with her and yelling at her and threatening her because she had not bowed down, because she had defied the Royal Imperial Japanese Army. And all of a sudden, as he was getting ready to beat her and put her in prison, all of a sudden he was called out of the office. It was very urgent. She sat there in the office, and all of a sudden, it was as if a voice spoke aloud to her, and that voice said to her, "Run, run." And so she took off. She ran out of that office, and she ran. And she ran into hiding, and the Japanese began to look for her. And yet, she was protected. She was protected for a while. And then God laid another mission on her heart. Because she spoke fluent Japanese, God laid on her heart that she was to get on a train and that she was to travel. And she was to travel across Korea. She was to get into Japan, and she was to go to the Japanese Diet. Now, the Japanese Diet is like our Congress or like our Senate. And she was to drop a scroll, and the message on that scroll was to be this: if Japan does not repent, then God will send fire and destruction from heaven on Japan. An awful, awful thing that would happen to them, and she was required to tell them. She went with a man that God sent to her door. This man had been praying, and God had laid on her heart, on his heart, that he had called this woman, Esther Ahn Kim, to go and do something for the Lord, and that he was to go and he was to accompany her. When he showed up at her door, he just looked at her. She was so small. She looked so frail. She looked so weak. And he looked at her and he says, God told me that I'm to come and I'm to help you do what God has called you to do. But what are you? You're just a woman. So I'm to go along as a man. Well, she could get her passport into Japan because of the work that she had done and because she spoke fluent Japanese. But he had no passport. They got on the transportation. They got on the train. As they were going through and traveling through Japan, they were coming through and checking passports. And that man just sat up in the train just like this. He had no passport. She looked behind. She was absolutely disgusted with him. She knew that they would come past her, go to him, and he didn't have a passport. And why wasn't he hiding, or why wasn't he doing something? And she sat there just in absolute terror. She showed her passport. The officer walked beyond her, checking every other passport. And she kind of turned around. And when he got to the man that was her traveling companion, he walked right past him as if he never saw him. He never asked for the passport. They got to the Japanese Diet. They took that scroll, and when it was in session, they dropped that scroll from the balcony. This time she was arrested. This time she was taken to prison. You ought to read the book. You ought to read the book. It's absolutely incredible. But this is when she was released from prison. She spent a long time in that prison. Her health was broken, but God honored her faith. She was released from prison on the day that the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. God had rained down fire, the fire of judgment, on Japan. There is a God in heaven. And when he calls you to do a task for him, when he calls you to be his child, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Listen, any trial that you and I go through, any fiery furnace, any furnace of blazing fire that we walk into, whether it's a literal furnace or whether it is a figurative furnace, we never walk alone. There is a fourth man, so to speak, in the fire with us. And he is one like the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So you need to determine that whatever circumstance you find yourself in, that a sovereign God has permitted that circumstance. And that sovereign God has promised you, as 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, it is not more than you can bear. God will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And that way of escape many times is just, in a sense, feeling his arm under your arm. That unseen arm, that unseen touch on your shoulder, that unseen or unheard voice to the rest of the people saying, be faithful. You're not alone. I am standing with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This is your opportunity to show people the reality of your faith. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They showed the reality of their faith in Yahweh. Remember now, and I want to take you back to Daniel chapter 3. But as we look at Daniel chapter 3, what I want you to do is I want you to remember what these guys' names meant in Hebrew. Remember, Hananiah was God is gracious. God was gracious to these men. Mishael means who is what God is. Boy, did God show himself to be God in that. And Azariah means this, Yahweh has helped. And oh, how Yahweh helped. Watch what happens after they come out of the fire. It says in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. And you want to mark that again. And he responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God. This is the first time that this name of God is used in the book of Daniel. It's used for the first time in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. But here it is used for the first time in the book of Daniel. And this is what he says, come out, you servants of El Elyon, E-L, and then another word, E-L-Y-O-N, the Most High God. Because what has Nebuchadnezzar realize now. Nebuchadnezzar has realized now that there is a God that is the Most High God, and he is higher than his God. Because remember, what did Nebuchadnezzar say to those young men? And who is able to deliver you out of my hand if you don't bend, if you don't bow? And you and I always need to know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew, and that is God is able. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of all flesh, he says in Jeremiah, and nothing is too difficult for him. So he goes on to say, come out, you servants of Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men. Now listen carefully, that the fire had no effect on their bodies, on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Listen, when they came out of a fire permitted by God, and when they refused to bow, they refused to bend, and they walked into that fire trusting the God of the impossible, they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. And that's what's going to happen to you and me, beloved, when we walk in to those fires and we stand for God. All will see, all will see, and all will be in awe of our God. We'll talk more about it, and we'll finish this lesson because it's so important right after this break.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Welcome back, my beloved student. Oh, I just am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful. I just wish I could put my arms around you and give you a holy hug and thank you so much for wanting to study God's Word. Thank you so much for doing your homework and observing the text with me and seeing what this book says. I know that you're going to be the richer for it. When you look at these three guys, when they went into the fire, they were all tied up. I mean, they were tied up in their trousers and their shirt and everything. They went into that fire bound. Listen, when they came out, there was no ties on them, nothing to bind them up. And this is what happens when you stand for the Lord, when you refuse to bend, when you refuse to bow. When you say, I rather burn than bend or bow than compromise my God, I rather take the consequences. I want to tell you something. There is a freedom there. There is a freedom there because you all of a sudden are let loose from those cords that bind you to the approbation of man or bind you to your desires. And all of a sudden you've gone through the fire, you come out, there's a new freedom, there's a new understanding, there's a new strength because you have been victorious because you did not compromise. Let me show it to you in the Word of God. Let me take you to the New Testament. I want to take you to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, he's talking about what we can exalt in because we stand permanently in the grace of God once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says this in verse 3, not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, knowing that it brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character. In other words, a trial that you go through, that you hupomeno in, that you abide in, a trial that you don't run away from. But that brings proven character. It proves the reality of your faith. It proves the fact that you have professed to believe in Jesus Christ and you have stood for Him in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that testing. And it says it brings proven character and proven character hope. I mean, you talk about those cords being let loose. I mean, you've gone into the fire. You've stood for the Lord. You prove that. And that proven character brings forth hope. And hope does not disappoint because you see the reality of your faith. You've put it to the test or it's been put to the test and you have come out and you are no longer bound because when you were in that fire, you knew the presence of God. You knew the assurance of God. You knew the victory of faith. I want to take you to one other scripture, and it's 1 Peter, and I think it's chapter 4, so because it wasn't on my mind, but the Lord brought it to my mind. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, listen to what it says. Therefore, verse 1, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. In other words, be ready to suffer. Be ready to suffer in the flesh. Be ready to suffer now while you're living in this body, in this society, in this culture, as a child of God. So he says, arm yourselves with the same purpose. Why? Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, when you determine that you're going to believe God, then you're not going to sin. You're not going to sin. You see, the root of all sin is unbelief. So when you determine that you're willing to suffer, that you're willing to stand, that you're not going to compromise, that you're not going to give in, that you're not going to bend, that you're not going to bow, that you'll burn first, then you have ceased from sin. You have made a choice for the side of righteousness. You have made a choice to stand as a faithful one for the King of Kings and to further the kingdom of God and let people see in your life the reality of your faith so that it's not just all words, but it is deeds that follow it. And that's what the world needs to see. They need to see the deeds. They hear the words all the time, but they need to see the action. They need to see the backup of the fact that you're not just going to say that you believe, but you're going to act like you believe, and you're not going to compromise because you do believe, and you're going to stand fast for the Lord. So let's go back now to Daniel chapter 3. As we go back to Daniel chapter 3, I love what happens to Nebuchadnezzar and this and what God does in his life as a result of it. So Daniel chapter 3 in verse 28, and Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Remember, they changed their names and they put them under the command of Aku, and they put them as a servant of Nebo. But now he says, oh no, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Blessed be the God of Esther An Kim. Blessed be the God of all the faithful who have been willing to stand and not compromise because they know that there is a God in heaven. And when they know there's a God in heaven and we act like that on earth, then the people on earth see who our God is and they stand in awe because they know that if it had been them, they wouldn't have done what we have done. And it says, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. In every trial, in every situation, beloved, you have a choice. Are you going to put your trust in him, or are you going to put your trust in the arm of flesh? Jeremiah chapter 17 says, when you put your trust in the arm of flesh, it's going to fail you. But when you trust in God and you trust God, you trust in who he is and you trust him, then you are blessed by God. So it says, who put their trust in God, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their God. In other words, you're monotheistic, aren't you? You have one God, and you're not going to bow before any other god. And Nebuchadnezzar, this man that was full of rage, this man that was full of wrath, this man who heated up, and you could see it in his body, and you could see it in his countenance, and you could hear it in his words, this man who heated up the furnace 7 times hotter is now just all docile because he has seen God in action. He has seen the reality of their faith, and he has seen that they are right. You need not worship any other God except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap. Oh my gosh, he said that before. Now why? Why? Because this is how brutal the Babylonians were. They literally took the disobedient and they literally tore them limb from limb. They just put ropes on them and tear them until eventually it'd pop out of the skin. They literally took their houses and made them a rubbish heap. Now, you know, that could be translated a latrine. And so, remember, a lot of people didn't have indoor plumbing. And so they would just take their house and say, okay, this house has now become a public latrine. Anybody can use it. And so that's what they would do. He says, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. What did Nebuchadnezzar see? He saw three men who understood the supremacy of their God, the power of their God, the faithfulness of their God, and were willing to die for him, even if he chose not to deliver them. They were willing to die because they were not willing to compromise. Do you realize what would happen in this nation if you and I had that kind of faith? If you and I would stand so true to God and refuse to bend, refuse to bow, and instead, if we needed to burn. It says this, then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. They weren't removed from a culture that was still opposed or still worshiping other gods. But they lived in that culture and they prospered, and they prospered in the right way. Now, many times you can live in a culture and you can prosper, and the culture will help you prosper as long as you don't stand with convictions for God. They'll just help you. They'll just applaud you. I mean, the teacher, the head of the school, would have patted Esther on Kim on the back if she had not bowed. She would have said, thank you so much, dear. And I'm going to give you a little raise for that. Or I'm going to see that you get this benefit or that benefit. But you don't want the applause of men. It's very light. It's very shallow. It's very temporary. You want the approbation that comes from God, the approbation that God reserves for those who are faithful. You've heard me say it over and over and over again because I want it to stick in your mind, beloved. Don't bend. Don't bow. Be willing to burn instead. Do not compromise your God, because when you compromise your convictions, when you act contrary to what you have said, then what you are doing, beloved, is you are compromising God. Don't compromise him. Be an example among the believers in thought, in word, in deed, in purity, and in godliness. Let them see the reality that there is no God like our God. He is the one and only true God. He is El Elyon, the Most High God, who sits on his throne.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.